The grace, mercy, and peace of the triune God be with you all.
And also with you.
So we titled this series, Parables for Rabble Rousers. Maybe you don't see yourself as a rabble rouser. Oh, a few of you do. But some of you maybe not so much. You are here, though, at University United Methodist Church. You are in a church in Texas that has openly defied its own denomination's teachings and laws on LGBTQ persons. Amen? And that's just one example, right? If that's not rabble-rousing, I don't know what is. Maybe you all need to embrace your inner rabble-rouser. Maybe you need to let that rabble-rouser out once in a while. So the parable we read today is the shortest one in the New Testament. And my apologies to our readers this morning who probably really looked forward to digging into a longer story and you got one measly verse. Have you ever wondered why Jesus chose parables to convey his message? I think it's because he knew that if we want to learn how we can live more deeply and more wisely, that we need something other than facts, other than more statistics and spreadsheets. We need stories. We need really good stories, narratives that sound like everyday stories, but with a twist that flips our expectations and our stereotypes upside down. So in the parable we read today, words like leaven and three measures are lost on most of us. Not only that, Jesus says that the woman hides the leaven in the flour. Who talks about bread making that way? Unless you're making, I don't know, a king cake, right? And three measures, so that's not three cups. That's a whole lot of flour. That's like 50 pounds of flour. What do you make of this? And then to top it all off, a woman is at the center of the parable. We don't even think anything of that. But in a male-dominated patriarchal society in the first century, no one would share a teaching that the sacred work of God is like a woman baking bread. That would have been scandalous, which is also hard for us to grasp in a culture that is pretty much normalized scandal. So, what in the world is going on here? Clearly, this is not an ordinary story of kneading flour and baking bread. There's something else happening. So, the word that opens up the parable is leaven, which we might translate as yeast. Any bread bakers out there? A few of you? Yeah, I've tried baking some bread. It's fun. We would think of leaven as a good thing. You want to have some really good yeast, right? You want to make sure that it's fresh. And you mix the yeast in with the flour, and then you let the loaf sit for a time. And then you knead it down again, and then you let it sit and rise into a loaf ready to be baked in the oven. It is such a satisfying image. You can almost smell the bread right now, which I hesitate to say so close to the lunch hour. But so, that's us. But if you were a first century Jew, you would hear this story differently. In the ancient world, the process of leavening is also, get this, negative. Yeah. Leaven can make bread rise, but it can also make it rot. So leaven was like a trigger word. The process of leavening in that time often meant moral corruption. Recall that the ancient Jews celebrated the feast of unleavened bread, right? Bread that does not have yeast and does not rise is sacred. Add to that, in the Gospels and in Paul, they often caution their early followers not to pay attention to the leaven of the Pharisees and to beware of the leaven of Herod. When I was a kid, I wondered, what in the world are they talking about? This is not a compliment. They're talking about the hypocrisy, the malevolence, the evil of their rule. The American proverb, one rotten apple spoils the whole bunch. Yeah, that comes pretty close to how a first century Jew would have heard the word leaven. So leaven is like a virus on your computer. It spreads out and it infects everything. Oh yeah, we know about that. So the kingdom of God is like a noxious weed that takes over your lawn and it can't be weeded out. There we go. And now the parable makes perfect sense, right? No, okay. Stay with me. This is why the parable is so subversive. It may be one of the most subversive parables in the New Testament. We would never understand the church as a form of moral corruption, as a bad influence, would we? The parable is asking us, what if you did? If the conventional wisdom is you need to get all you can for yourself, then wouldn't a bit of gospel corruption be just the right touch? I mean, this community infects and bends those conventional norms because we try to practice a different equation, that we gain our lives not by getting all we can for ourselves, but by losing our lives. Hiding leaven in the loaf changes and corrupts the loaf into something new, something graceful and good and glorious. Most mainline Protestant churches today are struggling, and so it's tempting to circle the wagons and say, let's take care of ourselves. Let's take care of our building and all of our stuff. But every week, you make a different choice, and you serve hundreds of people. Did you know that your budget, which is close to $35,000 for the ministries of Open Door and Fig Leaf, somehow grows like loaves and fishes through the year, and you spend close to $50,000. And this year, instead of looking at the budget and cutting that budget, what I hear from you is, we can do more. We need to do more, Pastor John. And so we need to raise that budget. That is leaven in the loaf. That is standing against the tide. That is a counterintuitive, infectious love that is at our core. And I'm amazed every week that there are folks who still come in these doors and say, I want to catch me some of that virus too. Are you with me? Believe it or not, we leaven the loaf when we take communion. Because right here, we express the weird idea that everyone is welcome at the table, that everyone is equal at the table, that everyone ought to have bread, which means that everyone ought to have what they need for life. I don't know what most of you did on Friday night, but I'm aware that a few of you dropped whatever you had planned and you headed out not to church, but to your neighborhood Jewish synagogue to express your love and solidarity for our friends, for our brothers and sisters. That is leaven in the loaf. In the face of a system that sells prisons to the highest bidder and that views prisoners as commodities, several of you are engaged in correspondence with some folks in prison. And you not only listen to their stories, but you share our story. And so there are conversations going on now in prison created by the good work of this congregation. The sermons that are preached in this pulpit are bundled up and sent to those folks who are in prison, and they have conversations about them. That is stunning to me. And that is leaven. It's All Saints Day, friends. One of our saints, Bob Bryan, was a scrappy United Methodist pastor and campus minister right here at University Church. Bob defined standing against the tide. In the segregationist waters of the 50s and 60s, Bob swam upstream to integrate theaters and lunch counters all over Austin. That is leaven. We do this work. We bear this witness. We do it in our own ways. We do it in our own context. We do it according to our own sense of call. But we do not do this work alone. We are surrounded by a communion of saints. Do you sense, can you feel that they are right here with us? We do this work with them because we have been drawn into a love story. A story where there is no us and them. A story where there is a place at the table for everyone born. Thanks be to God. Amen.